You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if the meeting is being held.
All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 2, KBOO's Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the special programs we're bringing you in February and March at kboo.fm/thrills. Help us reach our goal of $17,000 by March 25th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text us. Type in KBOO to the number 44321. For the thrill of it all, keep listening.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Avitasia Shani is here. She's the author of a children's book that has won the National Indie Excellence Award in the category of children's books for spirituality and motivational reading. And she's going to tell us about it. Hi, Avi. What is the book about? What's the title?
Hi, Grace. It's wonderful to be with you. The title of the book is Little Garlic, Enchanted Tales for All Ages.
Yes, and it is an enchanting book, too. So what's in it? Who is this little garlic?
Well, little garlic is really the journey of innocence in the world. On the surface, it's a children's story about little garlic who finds himself in a place unknown to him, that nothing is familiar to him, because wind blew him out of his home and place, from his family, from everything he knew, and this wind blew him to an unknown place where he knows no one.
Which is where we're really all born, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. But what inspired this? I mean, we have other characters in other books, but to be a protagonist who is a little garlic, what ever got into you?
That's a good question. One day I was peeling garlic, and on NPR, there was a segment on a young boy who committed suicide because his peers were taunting him because he was gay. And that just broke my heart. And I realized that people need to look at the heart of people, not judge anybody because of any preconceived ideas they might have.
Excellent, excellent. And how long did this incubate inside of you? You didn't just sit down, wash your hands, and sit down and do it. So did it sit inside and cook, or what triggered the actual sitting down?
Well, I started writing the story after what I heard on NPR, because I thought that people always call garlic, it stinks, it smells, but it has so much value, nutritional value, for everybody all over the world. So I started writing the story.
Well, then we meet Little Onion. And what did you decide to do to make Little Onion and Little Garlic companions?
Well, it's very interesting, because the same wind that plucked a little garlic out of his home, that same wind that we later learn is called magic wind, brings onion to little garlic, where little garlic is sitting there crying all alone and forlorn. And onion asks him, "Hey, little fellow, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? What's bothering you?" So Little Garlic explains his story, and he says, I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. All I know is that everybody calls me Stinky. So that's how the friendship begins.
Mm, that is so inspiring, because every child believes they are other until they are told something different. We do get our identity from a reflection from others. So you gave Little Onion the wherewithal to show Little Garlic who he was.
Exactly.
Wow. How long did it take in the writing from the beginning to the end?
Well, there are 11 stories in this book, and each story has a different message for us. And so as I observed things, as I thought about things, the stories came to me. And I slowly jotted down the stories in my little notebook. And during the pandemic, when I had more free time, I just sat down and wrote all of them.
Oh, you just thought about them, wrote images down, gathered images, and then you sat down and wrote all of a piece?
Yes.
Like a whole chapter at a time?
Yes.
And each episode has a different message, right?
It does have a different message, yes.
Now, there are other characters. Who are the other characters?
One of the characters that we meet is, of course, Magic Wind, that has a central role in the book. And one of the most endearing characters is Lotus Blossom. And the lesson that Little Garlic learns from Lotus Blossom is that no matter where we are, how difficult our environment may be, how stressed we may be, we can still see the world as a beautiful entity. The world can be beautiful for us.
Well, how did you choose the lotus star for that message?
Lotus. Well, lotus blossom has always a spiritual meaning as a flower of that symbolizes purity, as a flower that symbolizes love. It has many different symbols, lotus blossom. But lotuses live in swamps.
Mm-hmm.
And because they live in swamps, this was a good image that no matter where we are situated, we can still look at life as being beautiful.
You know, I believe that books can change the world. And I believe this one can certainly change the world. So we have metaphoric ideas. Do you describe the characters and what they're wearing, or how does Magic Wind look?
You know, I leave a lot to kids' imagination. I don't want to give concrete images to anyone, because it's a book that I'd like people to step in and just develop their own characters based on what we have on paper. And that's why we don't even have really a very firm or contoured images of Magic Wind, Little Garlic. I like everyone to own Little Garlic, Lotus Blossom.
Oh, it's interactive, emotionally interactive, I would say.
Yes.
So we're talking to Avi Deshashani. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I am Grace Cavalieri. Avi Day is a recipient of the 6th Annual Waging Peace Award given by President Jimmy Carter. She's the founder and president of the Fund for the Future of Children. She's an author of 3 books of poetry, and this book is certainly part poetry. It is pure lyricism. Please read us a little bit of this book, Little Garlic, Enchanted Tales.
Just to share with you the innocence of Little Garlic, I'm going to read a passage about that. So when they meet, this is a chapter called The Special Meeting. Onion tells Little Garlic that if you want to know yourself, we'll have to go on a journey. So Little Garlic gets confused because he doesn't know what journey is. He says, Onion, what is it that I must first do? I'm scared. I don't know how to go on a journey. I'm so tiny, I don't know anything. Onion said, sometimes it's better to learn for yourself, but I will help you. We can figure it out together. You don't know this yet, but everything has a special secret that is kept in a very secret place, and it's hidden from all eyes. It's a treasure that you must discover for yourself. Onion, I'm scared. I don't know anything about secrets. It sounds too difficult. I'm so tiny.
Many of us know how that feels, to be so tiny. So that you whet our appetite. And do you want to read a little bit more of that?
I would like to. Each story in this book ends in the evening, and it's a time for reflection, for gratitude, for love, for friendship. And this is how most of the stories end. So Onion tells Little Garlic, "Good night, little fella. Sweet dreams." "Good night, Onion. Thank you for being my friend." Little Garlic closed his eyes with a feeling of comfort. For the very first time since the wind had brought him to this place, he was able to go to sleep without a care in the world. He slept deeply, feeling grateful that he had found a friend. By now, the entire sky was filled with stars, and a blanket of calm had settled across the sky. Onion gazed at the star-filled sky and remembered how he had been guided and how he had found his own secret along the mysterious path of life. Onion glanced over and saw Little Garlic was happily asleep. He too closed his eyes with a feeling of gratitude for having found a new friend.
Friendship is the pillar of light throughout this book, I think. And when I first read it, I believe that it is the first public vehicle of friendship since Mr. Rogers. And I truly feel that many of the things that emanated from that program, which are now gone, need to be revised. So do you know that schools are having to teach kindness programs now for children?
Yes, yes.
Because kindness is not inherent anymore in our teachings. This is a book of this time in history. Now, the questions that you raise in each episode, do you wrap it up with answers?
Actually, I don't. Because this is a journey, and everybody's journey is very special, unique. And in reading this book, I believe that our hearts open to our own gifts within. And the answers that we find are the answers unique to ourselves.
So do you believe that children will have the wherewithal to provide their own substance for the book?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have had parents tell me how much influence this book has had on their kids, especially special needs kids who feel alienated, who feel bullied, that they find a voice in Little Garlic. A young boy wrote this magnificent poem, 3 pages long, about his self-actualization after his mom read the poem to him, read the book to him.
What more could we ask for? What more could you want than to get such an affirmation, though?
And I have a lovely grandniece. And after reading the book, I said, "Well, what's your favorite character in this book?" She said, "Lotus Blossom." Mm-hmm. I said, "Why?" She said, "Because although Lotus Blossom lives in a dirty swamp, she still looks at life with the eyes of beauty. And she's only 10 years old."
It could launch many thoughts for children that are not given to them at this time. Avide Shoshani is a poet, writer, and lecturer, and an advocate for children, as you can imagine. Just hearing this book, this is just part of her career. One character is Rambutan. What is that?
Rambutan is a fruit. On the exterior, it may not be pleasing to the eye, nor to the touch. So this is a story where little garlic learns a huge lesson. But through the kindness of rambutan, he is able to understand his own inner self, his weakness in judging others by what they appear to be.
Well, what does it appear to be? What does this fruit look like?
It's difficult to explain.
It's ugly.
It's different.
It has hard surfaces?
It has like tentacles on the surface.
I've never seen one.
But if you cut it open, the heart, there's an interior beauty of the rambutan that's lustrous, that has a sweet scent to it.
What a perfect symbol.
It really is, because it's like our heart. Through life, as we all go through life, we start developing these walls around our heart, these boundaries around our heart, either through fear or through rejection. For whatever reason, we develop these boundaries around our heart. But it helps us. The story of rambutan tells us that no matter, even if we've built a hard shell around ourselves, we can crack that open and see the beauty of our own heart.
Wow. This is something I think even a kindergarten child would understand, because it's graphic enough. So I think this is a book for all ages. Am I right?
It really is. On one level, as I mentioned, it's the story of little garlic for children, that they understand a lot about nature, the interaction about nature, the beauties of nature, and what lessons we can learn from nature. On a deeper level, it's really our journey of innocence from the time we're born. And slowly we develop veils that cover that innocence. And at the end, how we can go back to our innocence and experience who we really are.
Well, this spiritual journey did not come from nothing. Could you tell us about your own spiritual journey? I don't mean every detail of it. If you can just summarize where you've been and what brings you to this place that you're giving to other people.
Well, my spiritual journey actually began in the 10th grade in a world religions class, when our teacher started talking about the mystical levels of reaching oneness with God. And my heart told me this is what I want in my life. And so the journey has really been going from one thing to another thing, lifting up things, practicing things, until I came to a place that I realized that the answer is really in my own heart. That connection that I want with God is so unique and so personal. And it ended up with the story of little garlic.
And we have to say, this is not a book of any one religion.
No, it has no religion in it. It's just about our level of experience with all that exists.
Well said. Well said. You know, children that are being born now seem to have a special quality that I believe are ready for this. And I think it's part of evolution, frankly. I think it's a physical evolution that allows children born now to be open to something that I certainly wasn't available to, born in the 1930s, you know. Things were much more structured and made of mortar and brick. So let's hear a little bit more about these enchanted tales fostered by little garlic.
So the story of Magic Wind, maybe just to give you a little idea, this is what Onion tells little garlic. He says, "You will meet many, many friends along the way, but you must keep this secret until you're 100% sure they're ready to hear it. It's important to keep secrets safe." "Okay, Onion, I promise." "Here's the deal," Onion said. "Anyone who wants to go on this journey must get to know magic wind and discover secret star. Oh no, Onion, I was so ready to go on this journey, but now you're telling me that I have to do something so difficult. It's not difficult at all. If you really want to go on your journey, you'll get to know Magic Wind. And Magic Wind, with the help of Secret Star, will help you discover your journey. This is so exciting. I really, really want to go on this journey. What do I have to do? Listen carefully, Onion said. Do you remember the little boy who took me to his house when I was all by myself? Little Garlic replied, yes, I remember. You became good buddies. Now, this is where we have another story within another story, where Onion tells his own story of how he got to know himself by meeting this little boy who took him to his house and they became friends.
So you have an inserted story within a story?
Yes, there are stories within stories
here.
Oh,
gosh. Avidesha Shani is also a woman who has a career, and she is the founder of a fund for the future of children. And I know this is kind of a station break, but I want you to tell people what that is, because I came across it in the 80s, and I have seen such interesting things. I saw you bring children from Palestine and Israel together, from those countries to America, to participate in one common art show. Those are the kinds of things you're doing. So can you summarize a few other things?
Yes, we've done work during the Bosnia conflict for children. We brought kids from multiple schools from the community, and they participated in a performance to raise awareness about the conflict in Bosnia. We've done an inspirational project on the cultural heritage of Yemen. We've done small projects and pretty large projects, national projects, international projects.
And you've given individual awards for leadership. I know
we
that.
Have done that. We've gone we've given individual awards where kids have developed special projects in third world countries. Like putting 60 girls in Mali to school, developing a girl empowerment program in India, and projects in Kenya, projects in Ghana. So we focus on leadership for youth, social justice, and multicultural understanding.
I'm just smiling because to list them is easy. To execute them was not easy. Avidesha Shani on The Poet and the Poem. I would love people to know the poet side of you. And so I've asked you to bring a couple of poems from your two previous books. What are those books? And just, we'd love to hear this other side of you.
This book from that I'm about to read a poem from it is called Tell Me Where to Be Born. And the signature poem in this book is called Tell Me Where to Be Born. And I wrote this during the Bosnia conflict. I was just so torn by what was going on in Bosnia that this poem just flowed. People of the world, tell me where to be born. If I were born in the land of your interest, would you let me die? People of the world, my name is Holocaust, and I'm 50 plus years old. My name is Sarajevo, and I'm 3 years old. My name is Rwanda, and I'm but a month old. I have no name. I'm yet to be born. People of the world, tell me where to be born. So you will not hate me one day, so you will not maim me one day, so you will not kill me one day. People of the world, tell me where to be born.
Yes, when we think of the children in Syria who were born in tents, and now they were babies in tents, and now they're children in tents. They may have a stick in the dirt, and that's all they have, and in the winter they may not have that stick.
That's right.
And this is who you champion. Let's have one more poem.
I'm going to read from another book, Remember Me. And this is somewhat related to, not related to Little Garlic, but it tells us how important it is, our role in nurturing children, because that kernel of light and innocence that comes into the world, we are its gardeners, in essence. How that seed is going to evolve to its fullness. So this is called, this doesn't have a title, but I'm just going to start reading it. It says, "My soul, a gardener once told me, a flower doesn't tell the gardener what color or shape it wants to be. The gardener knows from the seed he has planted what the flower is to be, when it will bloom, when it will wither. The flower doesn't know what its fate is to be. It grows when it's supposed to. It withers when it's supposed to. Can the flower decide about anything? If it's lucky, it will fall in the hand of a gardener who will look after it, who will protect it, and who will bring it to its full bloom. My soul, know this. If the gardener has planted a seed, it means he has hope that the seed will grow and he will be the first to see its fruit."
When you write poetry, is it something where you get into another state of being?
Yes. I write everything based on inspiration. I don't think about writing.
It doesn't hurt to be well-crafted, though, because you have a life that is a literary life. I knew you when you were translating ancient Persian to English, and this Persian had never been in English before. And, I mean, it might be 5th century work. So your work has been with language, and that's in your DNA. So to sit in the flow, I think you come with. I think you come with some stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. And I would love a final reading about Little Garlic, Enchanted Tales for Children.
I'm going to read the last page of this book. Not the last page, but the last poem. And it's called The Flower of Peace. And it's really the culmination of the stories in Little Garlic, because it's how we can return to that state of innocence, which is really the state of peace. Peace is a seed planted in the heart that grows and blossoms from the goodness of the heart. Each day when you wake up, no matter how difficult it is, open your eyes with the feeling of love in your heart. Nurture this love as you go through the day with a kind deed for someone in need, a smile and kind words for all those you meet. Remember, an honest day's work strengthens the heart, and love keeps the heart tender and soft. Remember to nurture your heart with hope, faith, beauty, and love, until the seed of peace blossoms in your heart and becomes the flower of peace that you offer to the world. Remember, your words, your deeds, your work, your glance, even a smile, are the petals of peace nurtured each day from the love in your heart. Just imagine, if everyone nurtured their heart like this, wouldn't the world be a peaceful place to live?
I'm going to take that advice and live with it all day. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress, and that is the voice of Avidesha Shani. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funders are the Cy Nipet Fund, Natalie Canivore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. I am Grace Cavalieri, and our engineer is Mike Turpin.
everybody. I'm Rose Maddox, and I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, the station that I listen to when I'm in the area.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning into KBOO.